Hello, listener. I'm so happy you're here. But quick, before you listen to this podcast, log into Destiny. There's a glitch going on right now where you can do a six-person raid, but with 12 people. That's something that's never happened to Destiny before. AJ and I are going to really quickly record this podcast because we have to get to the Destiny server, the Destiny raid. We're going to do what, AJ's Garden? Garden?
We're going to do Garden. We're going to do the snowy one. We're going to go kick Tanix and his dumb robot ass. I'm sick of him. He gave us so much problems for like 2 to 3 weeks. He was like, oh, I'm Tanix and I'm a big robot man and I'm sick of it. So I'm getting all my homies together and we're going to go kick his goddamn ass. And that's happening today on Sunday. Listener, are hearing this, I hope that you can also go out and take advantage of the Destiny glitch where you can get 12 people into a raid. But that will be after Tuesday, which is when the weekly reset is. So if anything, it's almost certainly patched by now. But hey,
oh, no.
You know what? Oh, no. That happens. No.
Hey.
C'est la vie.
It's hindsight, baby. I mean... Hey, everybody, and welcome to Spiritual Successor, what the fuck? Jesus, okay, all of my speakers in this room are off. My phone is off. Everything is off, but there is a Discord notification, a ghost Discord. There it is again! A ghost Discord notification just somewhere, some machine. There it is again! What is happening? All right, I don't know. You're going to get notified.
Our Final Fantasy Discord is popping off right now. You need to figure out what device is making the bloops because our cool Final Fantasy Discord is just rocking out.
I have no idea. Like, all of my speakers are off. My laptop is closed. My phone has headphones in it. I don't know what's happening, and it's actually driving me insane. It's driving me, like, mad. I didn't hear anything yet, but it's going to come. So if I just suddenly lose it in the middle of this podcast, it's because of our private Final Fantasy 14 Discord, which is so weird because I don't play Final Fantasy 14, but I'm still in that Discord.
You have a character, though. You built a character. You're in the world. You just need to play more.
All of 22 minutes, like 21 or 22 minutes, and I was like, this game's okay.
you really do have to get through the 80-hour tutorial, and you have to get to the point where the little boy says, I'd like to make a military without borders. And you think, you're 12. You cannot be a tiny big boss. And he says, I would like to be a tiny big boss, please. And then you help him become a tiny military power. It goes perfect
for him. That sounds beautiful. That sounds lovely. That's an energy I could get behind. But the fact that there's an heavy quotes on this 80-hour tutorial to get to fun things, AJ, is an absolute... My mic is clipping, and I need to... Excuse me while I lower my levels a little bit. The fact that you have to go 80 hours to get to good gameplay is dumb and stupid. I could play Doom Eternal three times in a row and have a consecutive great 80 hours of good gameplay and be satisfied.
Blake, here's the thing about that. You don't get to be a cat boy for 80 hours in Doom Eternal, do you?
Cat boys are overrated. It's all about dragon boys. What are you talking about, AJ? Actually, it's all about bunny boys. What are you fucking talking about, you basic cat boy? But
I hear a cat screaming in my hallway. I'm so sorry. Oh, he's attacking my door. He's busting my door down. He's prying it open.
Because he knows we're talking about, he's here to beat the shit out of me because I'm shitting on cats. Cat boys.
Should we podcast now?
Yeah, yeah. What is our podcast? Like, what do we do? Like,
this is Spiritual Successor, a comedy video game design podcast where we take your horrible, nasty, horrible, cursed video game ideas from all over the internet and turn them into the next AAA titles. I am your host, AJ Hart.
And I am your other host, Blake Rea.
Blake, we can't start a show like this without first touching base on a little bit of industry news.
Oh, so hello, welcome to Spiritual Successor, a sometimes gaming news podcast, as AJ likes to say.
So this week we had our Sony State of Play. Usually this comes with the idea that we're going to get more information on all of the lovely video games that we've been excited to hear about. However, if you're like me out there, then you've already forgotten all of the games that were in this week's State of Play. Just like you forgot about all of these games last time they showed them. They were like, Space Bullet Hell game. And I was like, oh yeah, that's a game. New Oddsworld game. Oh yeah, that's a game. Deathloop. Oh yeah, that's a game. And whoa, I realized give a single crap about any of the Sony games because every single one had been deleted from my brain full hog.
See, I don't understand how you can get, like, every other game, I'm like, okay, yeah, I there's...
Of course I forgot about the Freddy Fazbear video game.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I think it's easy to forget about games that don't fucking have gameplay trailers, and I've been feeling like a lot of the games that have been talked about over this past year were just like, hey, here's a still, here's a JPEG, here's some little teaser thing, but it's not actual gameplay. The fact that you can forget Deathloop does infuriate me, because Deathloop looks like a game that is going to happen, and it is in like 2 months, and is the only reason I'm buying a PS5.
I've been hearing about Deathloop for 2 years. I'm over it.
I think Deathloop got announced only a year ago, bro.
No, Deathloop got announced at the same expo that Fallout 76 was announced. Yeah, fact check me on that. Because I distinctly remember Todd Howard being on the stage when it happened.
Deathloop was revealed at E3 2019, dude. It was only like a year ago.
Was that not when 76 hit?
No, 76 I think hit like, let me fact check that. That's a game I don't think about much anymore. Which is such a bummer, because they've actually added a lot of things that I do really enjoy about that game. All right, so Fallout 76 was announced June at E3 2018, AJ. That was almost 2-3 years ago now.
Okay, so Deathloop was a year after 76.
Yeah, Deathloop, yes.
Then
Deathloop,
why does it feel like I've been hearing about it forever?
Because it's the only game that people are talking about for PS... I mean, it's not the only game that people are talking about. That's a huge oversight.
No, it is. Like I said, we forgot about the new Oddsworld and the Fazbear game. And you know what? I'm running my mouth. I can guarantee you there was something in the state of play that I've already forgotten.
I mean, I didn't watch it. I just was like, I go to those lists that just like shows everything that was announced, because gamer announcers are very awkward. Not everybody can be like that one lady who announced that, oh God, what was the, it was the one lady, it was that Cyberpunk
game. The lady
game,
that,
like,
announced, Tokyo Ghosts?
Yeah, like, not everybody can be super fun to listen to like her. It's always like, hey, we're here, we're reading a script, check out this cool gameplay. I'm like, I don't care. I could just watch this trailer. I wait an extra hour and, you know, I could find, I don't know. It's very lazy, but whatever. I wonder what happened to her, too,
because she was the creative director. And I think like 2 months after she did that announcement, she left that company.
Oh, well, that's a bummer. I mean, maybe she got offered another job. Hopefully she didn't have to leave for like sad reasons.
Hopefully, yeah. As I understand it, she was one of the key members of Evil Within 1 and 2, and those games rip. Those games own bones.
Oh, fuck. Did you ever beat Evil Within 2? I know you were playing it, like, hardcore for a while, but did you ever
No, I need to get back into it.
Was it just one of those games where it was like, oh, you were really into it hardcore, and then suddenly something else came out, and you just kind of had to focus on that?
They took a linear horror game in Evil Within 1 and then turned it into, like, an open-world survival game that made all of the monsters way less scary.
I know how you feel about open worlds. AJ hates them with a deep burning passion.
I hate empty open worlds. Video games should just put me on rails and say, here's the cool video game that we're going to give you. And let me engage in that. Well, like, Evil Within 2 was weird because, like, when you put the monsters in an open world and they become, like, a common issue you have to face, they become far less horrifying. The nasty crawly dogs that skitter around, they were scary the first time. And then I realized every time I needed to go to any of the houses to scavenge for gear, I was going to have to deal with that. Think about how many times you were actually scared of a zombie in The Last of Us. Not very often, huh?
Well, Last of Us, I wouldn't necessarily consider a scary horror game. I consider it more of just like a gritty drama.
But those monsters in Evil Within 2
the moment you put it into an open world, it loses all sense of tension, because you can, in an open world, you could theoretically just avoid all of those encounters. The reason, like, I do agree with you that I think a lot of horror games don't work as open worlds, because then you can choose what to be scared of and what not to be. That's why I think the first Resident Evil is so good, because you're in an isolated location and you have to deal with the things that are in front of you, and there's this tension of not wanting to. So the moment you're in an open world, it's like, I felt a similar thing when I just got finished playing Sinking City, which is an open world horror game, and it got to the point where I'm like, I just don't want to deal with these monsters, so I just run by them. You know, and I think that's a common issue with like a lot of open world horror games. But you know what? Beside the point. Deathloop's coming out. It's a fucking great game, and I can't believe I'm gonna have to pay $500 to play this one goddamn game. But it's Arcane, and I'm about
to have to drop $500 to play a standalone DLC. So don't even worry about it, bud.
What are you talking about, the Final Fantasy 14 thing?
Final Fantasy 7 episode Yuffie.
Sorry. God, you're gonna have to.
Getting closer to the reason why I brought up the state of play in the first place. Thank you for bringing me to Final Fantasy VII, because not only are we getting Final Fantasy VII standalone DLC PS5 exclusive episode Yuffie, we are also getting Final Fantasy VII The First Soldier, a cell phone mobile game set in the Final Fantasy VII universe
that is
a battle royale.
Dude, you and I should play that on the YouTube channel. Like, when it drops, you and I, we can go duos and fucking play Final Fantasy Battle Royale.
And I just need to touch base on this, because the sentence Final Fantasy VII Battle Royale is a wild sentence. There's so much there that I feel like is chomping our flavor and our bit. And it is, of course, yet again, Final Fantasy and Square Enix that is doing this to us. How dare they?
You know what's so funny?
Every couple of weeks, we have to come back to Final Fantasy, whatever the funny one we made was. Because it's titled Final Fantasy VII, The First Soldier. This mobile battle royale phone game is going to be the key story of how the whole, like, Super Soldier Project story, it's all the story of the Super Soldier Project of Final Fantasy VII is all going to be in this stupid mobile game, which is important because that's who the main villain and the main character are. They are both soldiers. Anyway, can't believe that Nomura is doing this to us again. I'm warning all of you right now. Nomura made us play 13 Kingdom Hearts games. He's going to make us play 7 Final Fantasy VII games.
Wait a second. Do you think this Battle Royale is going to have a story?
Yes.
Like an overarching narrative that you
I
have
just
to
said
go
it's
through?
Going to be, it is the actual story of the first soldier.
How the fuck do you do that? Is it supposed to be
series? It's going
to
be seasonal story events about, like, you know, the soldier program continuing through the process as they find the first soldier, and they're going to be like, oh, this candidate's got some real talent behind him.
Is it supposed to be like the winner of the battle royale is the ultimate soldier and
is
the best fighter
that they will then try to build the whole, like, soldier program behind? Yeah. It's going to be important.
God, man.
Everybody's it's
going to
be how the Shinra Foundation ended up creating and why the Shinra Foundation created these horrible, nasty soldier people.
Man. Well, do you think people are going to play it? Do you think Battle Royale
phone
games work?
Yeah, I'm
going to
play it, dude. Day one, I'm loading in.
Dude, hell yeah. We should do that. We should do that as a one-off episode. I think that just would be very funny. But whatever,
We're 15 minutes in. I'm opening up a Twitch channel. I'm going to be the biggest Final Fantasy VII The First Soldier Twitch streamer.
You know, I believe that's really possible, because you're probably going to be the only one to play it. All right. Let's do what we came here to do. Let's quit talking about just real life sucky games. Let's talk about our sucky games. AJ, you got a submission for me, or you want me to give you the first one?
You hit me with the first one. You seem really excited for this week.
Alrighty, this one comes to us on Reddit from Squidpope. A game hooked up to a 3D printer. Not yours, mind you. Another player's. So the first thing that stands out to me here is I would love to do a game. 3D printing is becoming like more available, and you can get like a 3D printer for like $200 or whatever, and you could build like a bunch of miniatures. I'm wondering if you could do some sort of like... God, what's that book called? There's this book that came out in like 1995, 1996 that was just a biography of this famous treasure hunter. And what you could do is, in the book, there were like these 10 different puzzles that all had like images that you needed to like decode. And then you could go to that location and dig up actual treasure. I think only 4 out of the 10 puzzles have been solved. So there's like still 6 pieces of treasure out there. So what I'm thinking is you can then create, you know, like geocaching, AJ?
Yeah, I know of geocaching.
What if you can do a game where you 3D print a marker or some sort of hint of where you've buried your treasure. So you can create this sort of, rather than like geocaching, which is you get a little, you get longitude, latitude points, and you also include like a little one sentence hint of like, look underneath the dumpster. That's not really a hint. That's just kind of telling you where it is, but I'm not good at hints. I'm wondering if you could do a thing where you can actually just randomly send a project file to somebody's 3D printer, and that 3D printer will print out, like, could be a street sign, or it could be some sort of, like, could be a miniature version of a building that they need to go to.
The idea being that you are sending them a clue to solve your geocaching riddle.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great idea. What I'm not super interested in, though, is getting people out of the house. I think that's a horrible idea for us as a game company. So hear me out. Well, I love this idea of, you know, you're sending somebody a puzzle. And this reminds me of the hit video game Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes. Might I propose to you an idea where you get to create your own little puzzle box. You then send it to somebody, and they and their 3D printer will print your puzzle box, and then they have to solve the puzzle box that you've sent to them. Think of it as love letters of just ordeals that you're sending to random people online.
Interesting. Okay, but how do you, are you saying you hide the box 3D prints with like a prize inside of it, or like it? Well, actually,
yeah,
you know what would be kind
of prize could you 3D print inside of a puzzle box?
Well, you know what you could do, actually, because 3D printing, I don't know how much detail you can pack into it, but like, say you have a box printed on some sort of like little plaque. Inside of that box is a URL or some sort of code that you then have to, they have to log into our host site, and then they get access to their digital prize or something like that.
Okay.
There you get like
it is a little app that we can design where you get to send people messages, but those messages are inside puzzle boxes that you get to create and send to your friends. So you're texting people, but you're also sending them little puzzle boxes that they get to unfurl and open up. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I could dig that. What can we do to put some stank on that, though? Like, okay, so we have puzzle boxes.
The messages have to be like those procedurally like word choice messages that you get from, like, you know, the Pokemon games when the TV interviewers would be like, would you answer a couple questions for us? And you have like 8 words that you get to choose from to make a sentence, kind of like Mad Libsy a little bit. That's the kind of messages that you can send to your friends. And that's
okay.
You can't type
that's
in
cute.
Your own messages. You have to use the messages that we built.
Okay, that's cute. That's cute. All right, I think that's a game. What do you got, AJ?
I got a submission here from the Reddit from user ArchangelGabe82. Another fighting game, but this time you use the DJ Hero peripheral. Move right and left with the crossfader, jump, punch, and duck with the 3 buttons on the platter, and scratch to slice with your sword.
God, I am so fucking happy you brought this one up, because I also had this one, and I was just like, God, this is what I'm picturing, AJ. You and I are standing in a living room 6 feet apart, of course, and we both have an apparatus that allows us to put the DJ, like, fucking dual disc. It's a band that you can put on your arm, so you and I just both have DJ Hero
discs
on our arms.
That's not
going
to work. No. I need both hands. I got one hand on the lever to move me left and right, and I got another one on my DJ board.
So you and I both have, like, kick tables,
yes,
or one of us is playing
tables
on the floor. So then you and I are facing each other, and like the monitor is like, so, God, this concept is so fucking cool. Because I'm picturing it being like a very Jet Set Radio sort of thing.
I was also thinking Jet Set Radio aesthetics. Yeah, like a Jet Set Radio, or even like a Lethal League, right? It's that like comic book-y, like very blatant, like you can very blatantly see the shapes of the characters, right? And it has, like, everyone's like a little bit funky,
that cel-shaded look.
Over big headphones, and everyone's got silly glasses, and maybe there's one character that's wearing jorts, but one leg actually goes down all the way and the other one is cut to be a jort.
Hey, that's pretty fucking dumb. I hate to break it to you. That serves no purpose aesthetically.
Yeah, and so is a fucking alligator with headphones and a jacket. Like, whatever.
Yeah,
these characters
designs cool.
are going
that's
to work.
That's practical, AJ. One, a jacket is practical. A pants with one leg cut out and the other one not cut out. You just look goofy. I hate
you don't
to break
understand.
It to
you.
That's
wait,
not
wait,
a
wait,
good
you don't
look.
Understand. Wait, 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 The character's wearing rollerblades. Does that change your opinion at all?
No, it makes him look even goofier. It makes him look like he took a tumble and half of his pants got shredded.
Oh yeah, you know what? We can definitely double down on this. Maybe he's like maybe this character is like a Harvey Two-Face type motherfucker, right? Like the left side's like got the torn jort, and the left sleeve and shirt is all gone and tattered, and then the right side's like a suit. Except for the jeans. There's jean pants that go down all the way on the right leg. And rollerblades.
And then they have a fancy helmet.
They have like a fun motorcycle helmet. And on the right side, it's all pristine and fine. And on the left side, it looks like it's been attacked by 8 jackhammers.
Jesus Christ. I love it.
This is definitely a fighting game where you have to, like we said, the slider on the left of the DJ pad thing is to move left and right. You have the punch, kick, attack buttons. Now, Submitter proposed the idea of the wiki wikis on the DJ thing to be the slash, or maybe the heavy attack, we can call it. What I also want to double down on, though, is does that affect the sound of the game? If I hit the little erret to make my character attack real good, does that change the track? The music
What I'm thinking with this is, and I know this is like a thing that we've talked about in other rhythm games, but I think it belongs in every fucking like sort of competitive rhythm game. Whoever is playing the best is like the dominant music in the track. So it'll be like, what's it called? Divinity Original Sin has this really fucking cool mechanic where when you're attacking, and it's so subtle, but it's so cool. But when you're in your character creation, you actually pick the instrument that represents you. And when you are in a fight with everybody else in your party, the instrument in that track is boosted and you can hear it above any other instrument in the track. And it's just a complete flavor of life thing. And I think that's something you can apply to this.
What is this in?
Divinity Original Sin.
Interesting.
So like if you pick like a lute, like you suddenly during the combat phase, you suddenly hear a lute just like kick in and just like fucking shred, and it's so cool. It's just such a subtle thing, but it's something I love, and I feel if you're doing it in a rhythm game, you can make that the forefront. So like, say you and I
Did you ever see anybody play Fuser or know what Fuser is?
No, I have never heard of that game before.
So Fuser is this new DJ type song. While I'm trying to describe it, go ahead and pull it up so you have a better understanding of what I'm talking about.
I do know this game. I remember seeing the art and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a DJ style game where all of the tracks have been broken down into like 4 types of audio files, and you can then just remix all of them together. What if this fighting game, when you select a character, they come with their own tracks that you can then select that are going to be used for the remix that plays during the fight scene? So when you choose your character, that is also choosing the music that comes, or at least the samples that will be in the backtrack to the game.
Well, what I'm thinking is I think you would do a thing where like each stage has its own track, and then certain parts are swapped out of it depending on who your character is. So like when you're in like the subway underground stage, it does play this one particular track, but depending on what players are in the ring dictates it.
I chose the Daft Punk character, which is 2 characters in one. It's one robot with 2 heads. And so when I load into the game, no matter what the background track is, it's always going to be chanting one more time.
And then I take in, what's that one dude? Time. I bring in Breakbot, the French disco artist.
Of course. Now, what would that character look like?
He has a disco ball for a head.
Okay.
And basically, anytime he activates his ultimate, like just spotlights drop from the top of the frame and just shine on his head, and it just like you just see lights fucking spin around the whole stage, basically. But here's something I want to add a little bit of stink, not stink on this, but a little bit of another wrinkle. So one of the big things about fighting games, correct me if I'm wrong, is getting into that flow state where a person can't counter you. So like you get them backed into a corner and you're going punch, 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 kick, kick, kick. And you're trying
to, when you start hitting that combo. Yeah.
Yeah. You get that combo flow state. What if we figure out a way of like you build up your meter by just doing attacks and then you activate your ultimate or you activate your combo and then it becomes a little mini rhythm game. So like remember in Guitar Hero with the solo phase where everything turns blue and you have to hit every single note to get that full power, that full high score bonus. But if you miss a note, it just goes back to regular non-solo phase. What if you do something like that? So it'll be like, hey, I just built up my meter with my Breakbot character. I go in for the attack on you, I activate it, I land that first punch, and then it becomes like DJ Hero, where you see a little rail come towards you where you need to make sure you press the right buttons in the right sequence. The music
but it's
kicks
like
up.
Super fast. Like you have to get it really fast so that you can do this combo nice. If you do the combo in those hits within that little rhythm minigame really good, then the alt's going to hit harder.
Mm-hmm.
I say really quick, I'm infatuated with the thought. You were talking about actual fighting game tactics, about putting somebody in the corner and really just railing on them. I want you to imagine you're watching a fighting game and that like moment happens where the character is getting blasted into the corner, and replace all of those normal video game hit effects with like the little hit markers, drum hits, high snares, and eras of electronic music all just going apeshit in that corner.
Yeah.
And then when the combo's done, it goes back to the rest of the song. That's going to rule, actually.
I wonder if there is a way you can do this. If you can, I have no idea if this is possible.
We can
but
do
maybe,
it.
Maybe, well, no. Like, you know what I'm getting? Like a feel for, remember in those Mystery Skulls music videos that are animated, that animated series with like the Scooby-Doo sort of things, their heads are always moving to the beat of the music. I'm wondering if you can do this game to where you time out the punches, if punches always land on notes in a song. So basically every punch is in rhythm with the song. Not like you're punching to the rhythm. It's just like the way everything's timed out, it can only land on a note in the song.
Okay,
so
hear me out.
Everything
if you
is
this,
moving to the rhythm.
Perhaps we lean in more of a Cadence of Hyrule thing. A character can only attack on their rhythm.
Yeah.
So when you play the game, you select a character, every character has their own rhythm to it. There's like a lightweight character that gets to attack more often, or there's a heavyweight character that attacks less often but has higher damage.
You're
going to
run into issues with that. I think you're going to run into issues with that because if you're talking about BPM and you're both players are hearing the same song, one of them is not going to be able to beat to the rhythm. I think everybody has to follow the rhythm of the stage. So like some stages will be much faster rhythm, some stages will be slower rhythm. But I think if you were to have two characters
maybe,
with different
maybe
BPM...
Maybe different characters can attack on different... It's the same BPM, but maybe one character can only hit on twos and fours, and the other character can hit on like one, two, three, four, if that makes any sense.
No, because I feel like the moment you do something like that, then everything's out of sync. So like if a character can attack more than another... It's not going to, unless you like rapidly, like, I mean, like, unless you hinder them, like their punches don't do shit. Like, I feel like you're going to run into a situation where a person can attack all the time.
A little bit of super armor, right? I think that's, I could be talking out of my ass here, but I think that there are some characters in normal fighting games already that have that. I want to say Potemkin from Guilty Gear has a level of like super armor that he can strike through and doesn't suffer from the same stuns that other fighting characters do because he's a slower unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I feel if you're going into a game that's all about rhythm where a person can only attack on certain rhythms, I feel you're going to have characters that are like, this character can't really do anything against this character because this other person can attack more and then like they never get an opportunity to attack and that just feels like really imbalanced. I think there could be some characters like... Maybe there's a thing of like when they activate their ultimate, they can their BPM goes up or like, that's what they call it, like what's a fighting word we can your bashes per minute or something like that.
Sorry, I've already decided on the name of the game and the name of the game is Beats Per Minute. Keep going though.
beats per minute. Sweet. Oh, that's a good fucking name. But I'm saying, or battles per minute.
No, it's beats per minute because that's what BPM is. It's the musical thing.
Yep, yep. Oh, yeah, of course. Okay. So then basically each person, like when you hit that high, your instrument that you chose for that character or the instrument that represents that character kicks up. So, God, there's going to be like, if there's like fucking, like, let's say there's 8 characters in the starter game and each one of them has a track that influences like each stage. God, the album for this game is going to be fucking wild. Because you'd be like, hey, man, can you play me the construction site scene, but I want it to have Breakbot fighting Deadmau5. And
well,
then
soundtrack works is because everything is just like sampled and like the characters have all kind of been pre-selected. Every track is like the name of the character cross whatever the name of the other character is, or versus the other character, right? So like,
yeah, and the name of the stage.
Give me out 2 electronic character names. Give me 2 character names. I'm thinking Crescendo and
Mystery Skulls.
Sure, it's just Mystery Skulls. So if you load into the game and like I've chosen the character Crescendo and you've chosen the character Mystery Skull, then the track is going to be Crescendo versus Mystery Skull, and then whatever the stage level is.
Yeah. So, oh, dude, you have like just like sweet, like it looks like code basically, where you have like 00- like /// Mystery Skulls /Crescendo the stage.
I'm thinking we'll do 6 characters and then we'll do 4 stages. So 6 times 6 times 4, that is, hit me, Blake, with it. You're good at quick math.
6 times 6 times 4 is 144, AJ. Nailed it first try. It's not like we had to cut anything out there.
No, we didn't. You're so good at math. And so that means that we'll have 144 tracks. Are all of them going to be bangers? Fuck no. Some of them are going to suck.
Whoa. That's going to be fucking wild, dude. Jesus. All right, hey, that's going to be a killer album. We could put that on like a... God, how many vinyls did the Hamilton musical come with? I think it was like 4 vinyls made up the whole like Hamilton musical.
Well, the tracks are only going to be like 3 minutes long because they're on loop. It's a fighting game.
Mm-hmm. All right. 144 times, let's say 3 minutes is 432 minutes. That's, you're looking at 7 hours worth of music, AJ. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
That's more than Hamilton's a 3-hour play.
Yeah, but I think it's less than Cadence of Hyrule, which, like, come on, we could beat Cadence of Hyrule.
You're right. God, I still need to play that game. That game looks like so much fun.
Blake, I'm gonna put a pin in this. Hit me with another video game and let's move fast.
All right, this one comes to us on Twitter from It's Not a Leap Year, So Who Cares About February in Your Eyes, a gothic horror gardening sim with toxic plants and mushrooms. AJ, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but there is a fucking crazy-ass garden in the UK called Alnwick, I believe it's, Alnwick Garden, and everything in that garden is poisonous plants, mushrooms, and things that'll make you fucking die. Like,
I
almost,
could go for an Alnwick bar right about now.
Go for a what?
An omelet bar? A little omelet bar joke for those out there that are always thinking about omelets like me. It's fine. Sometimes jokes don't hit. Keep going.
AJ never changed, man. I love you. You're the only guy I know who will go off on a tangent about omelets. The only person I know. But there's this place called Alnwick, which is a garden in the UK that has everything in the garden is a poisonous plant. So you have things like nightshade or other things. So I'm wondering if you can do a Stardew-esque Valley game, but there is a poison mechanic in it of like, because if you're working with these plants, I am imagining the risk of toxicity or the risk of accidentally poisoning yourself. And guess what, AJ? This game is fucking permadeath. So this game, you actually, if it's, imagine putting in the hundreds of hours that Stardew Valley requires, but then there is permadeath.
Hey,
and
Blake,
if you die, what's up?
I love this. There is one caveat I'm going to do because this is a cool game that shouldn't be made.
Uh-huh.
It's not toxic like poison. It's toxic like gamer communities toxic.
You want to explain that one?
I think that you load in and you walk into the gardens and all the gardens are just like really mean. All the plants start talking and they won't stop saying mean things and they try to correct you all the time. Like you start watering one of the plants and the other one's like, nice try, idiot. This one doesn't need to be watered every single day. It's die.
You have to know everything about me to like me.
You call yourself a gardener and you can't even name 15 plants? What are you doing?
Oh no, a game.
Wow, if you put in like 15 hours, the game starts to like really rail on you, and like all the plants will be all like, wow, 15 hours and you haven't even rolled credits yet? You know, some speedrunners can do this game in 8 minutes.
I wonder if you could do a thing, because I'm playing this other game right now and it actually threw me through a loop. I was playing GTFO, which is like a big horror like FPS shooter game. There that takes your Steam username and uses that as your like call sign in the game, and I was like, oh, that was a little creepy for a second, but it was very cool. What if this thing actually took some of your data from your platform? So does it keep track of other games that you play? Does it keep track of like other things that you're doing, like communications you've had with other people? It's like, hey, I overheard your conversation online.
It absolutely does start looking at the other games that you've played, and we'll like start loading in spoilers. So if you play the game too long, the plants will start to spoil other video games for you.
Hey, be careful around the spoiler onions. They'll tell you the ending to Final Fantasy VII before you finished it.
And like,
oh, don't, and stay and away from like, the subreddit celery.
There's going to be character customization, but I think that if you start to like dress your character up and you go into the gardens, there's going to be one plant that like it talks to you like the mean villagers from the old Animal Crossing games. That's like, Jesus Christ, you dress like this? This is how you leave the house every single day? Are you kidding me?
Oh, okay. Is there going to be...
It links to your social, and when you don't get a lot of likes on your post, it'll be mean to you.
Okay. Because I'm trying to figure out, is there going to be some element of, like, how do you keep a player... Like, how do you keep a player playing that game when all they get is hate?
Easy.
Like, I'm trying to figure out like how
if the player is good at the game, like super good, like
they get one compliment. It's a tsundere
it's
plants.
Not even that the plants are nice, it's that they stop being mean. If you've perfectly managed your garden, right, like there's no like overwatering or underwatering, you've got all the right nutrients going to all of the right plants, you don't have any like plants growing too big next to the little ones making them not get any good sunlight, if you've absolutely nailed out how to do this game good, then the plants are silent.
See,
but the
I fucking,
second they
I love
need
that. Yeah.
anything, they are ragging and nagging and being mean.
I love
absolutely
that because
toxic.
Like that would power, like, unlike Stardew Valley, which is like the feeling of like an honest day's work gets you an honest dollar and you know you feel good. This is like, no, that nightshade plant made fun of me. He called me a dumb gamer and I didn't know anything and I'm gonna make it shut the fuck up. That's my whole motivation. I would wake up in the middle of the night like, I need to make sure I water that.
I need to water it.
I felt like it would be such a hateful game of like, I only play this game. I don't get any joy from this game. I just want those plants to quit making fun of me. I just fucking hate them so
and
much.
I know what everybody's thinking. Hey, if you're playing this game, why would you even bother with it, right? Easy. When you signed up for the video game, we requested your email address and phone number so that we could spam you with texts and emails that also nag you and are mean, like, and toxic if you haven't logged in long enough.
God, you know, that reminds me, so this girl I dated back in high school, her mom was super into this, God, what was it called? Farmville or something? It was like one of those games where you have
Did
to
you
like-
you just
hey,
have to dig for Farmville?
Yeah, I think it was called Farmville, but it was the one where, like, hey,
the Facebook
you can set up-
game?
No. It was a phone game.
Oh, okay.
Where basically it was like a Farmville adjacent knockoff, whatever. But it was one of those games where it'd be like, hey, you can grow this little wheat field, but it's going to take 13 hours to build it, so you have to wait a long time or just pay for it to accelerate it. The thing that they would fucking do, because I ended up getting into this game so all of us would like play it together, they would send you these fucking emails of like, it's been a while since we've seen you, it's been a while since, you know, you came and watered these plants. Imagine that, but it's just an insult at unpredicted times during the
day.
Yeah,
it's like the little like... owl from Duolingo that guilt trips you, except it's onions and they're sending you spoilers.
It just
or
fucking,
they're critiquing your Instagram feed.
It just sends you a spoiler like the day a game releases. Be like, hey, the day Deathloop comes out, it's like, hey, here's a full, this is what happens to your character at the end of that game. Like, fuck!
You get the spoiler onion. If this game had been out like a couple months ago, I think that there would have been a moment where like we would have sent a nationwide push notification on this game of being like, Last of Us 2 spoiler leak just dropped a month early. Better get gardening, idiot.
But you know what would be so fucked up? I'm wondering if it would be funnier if you can do a thing where you don't know if it's going to be a spoiler or not. So like, it gives you a message like, you have something in your inbox on this kill game. So, but it's like, you need to know, be like, oh, is that telling me something is done? Like, it's time for watering? Or is this just something fucking with me? Is this going to be a random ass spoiler? Like, because here's the thing, like, that fits fucking toxic gamer culture so much, though, right? It'll be like, hey, we're just gonna post something out of random and you get a notification, oh, there's something going on the subreddit, oh, guess I just got fucking spoiled for this whole thing that I really was enjoying playing. It's God, you don't know because it's
horrible.
A gamble.
Yeah,
this is a horrid game. Is this what you were asking for, Dustin, when you
putting
were saying
a, putting a pin
plants?
In this rules.
You know what we call it?
What, you got a name?
So I'm thinking Gamer Garden, because it kind of sounds a little bit polite. It sounds fun. Oh, Gamer Garden. I like this. It just tricks you into playing. All of our trailers have to be very like peaceful sounding. And
yeah,
so nobody
expects
to lock in.
Yeah, it's got total nice guy vibes, right? Like it seems super charming and sweet. And then you get in, you're like, oh no.
Oh
dear.
Oh no. Are you going to have another? Wait, hold on, AJ. There's one more thing I want to talk about this. You have a neighbor, because like all gardening games, you have your neighbor who also has their garden. It's just a guy that mansplains to you how to take care of your plants. He just shows up whenever you don't need him.
Yeah. It's like how the Batman Arkham Knight games had hints through the entire game that you could never turn off, even if you were like in the final boss. Like, this game would have that from your gardener. You would always get tooltips. Or like how in Skyward Sword, Legend of Zelda, every time you turn the game off and then turn it on again, anytime you pick up an item, the game thinks it's the first time you've picked up that item.
Really?
So like, so if you play through a session and you pick up like red rubies, green rubies, purple rubies, oh my, and then you turn the game off and then you boot it up again for your second session, when you pick up a green ruby for the first time, the game thinks that's your first time picking up a green ruby. And it does that for every item in the game. I think that this gardening game will have a similar situation of that neighbor that's giving you little tool tips, never shuts up, never stops giving you the advice, will do it the entire time.
All right, can I pitch you on, I know we were saying we're going to put a pin in this, but I want to give you one more like just massive fucking stank to put on this. Okay. This game has amiibos. Stick with me. Each amiibo is like a different killer plant, but here's the thing. That little amiibo has a mic built into it. So basically that plant can give you audio things when you're least expecting it. So you have this whole wall of these poisonous plant amiibos, and basically, oh, this one gave me a notification. Oh, this other one gave me a notification. So you just have this fucking wall of sound of notifications of any time one of those plants needs to be watered, or they're going to tell you something, or they're going to give you a spoiler or something like that. Something to fuck, like just another layer of audible. It's fucking with you.
Yeah, no, I love that. A little bit of because the, you know, it's only a matter of time before we get the amiibo tech for mobile games. I like that you're on the curve on this.
Oh, you're thinking this is a mobile game? I was thinking this is like on the Switch.
I started to shift towards a mobile game idea once I thought about push notifications
and the idea of never letting people escape
from our horrible app. because if it's on a mobile game, I think that it's much easier to trick people into thinking that we need to get their cell phone number so that we can text them our mean things. Mm-hmm, also, they're it's on their phone, so they're going to get push notifications about our mean things also. And well, it's a game, so and everyone's just frivolous with their email address, so that one's just like, we got that one, no problem. At least 3 points of contact, and I think that that's going to give us the leverage we really need to really just spoil the Scorpion King for people.
I wonder if you can take a route that like In Animal Crossing, like the new Animal Crossing, they did that thing where like, hey, you can take this loan out on a house and then you're in debt for so long. I wonder if you could do a similar system into this, but it's actual real money. It'd be like, hey, here's this whole garden. You can get all of these tools up front, but you're going to go into somewhat debt. You have to work off your in-game debt to turn off your real world notifications. So that debt... It's part of getting the debt is getting push notifications. So then that's how you, so that motivates people to continue planting. And then that way they can sell those plants that are fully good or whatever and work off that debt. So you basically just get them in notification debt from the get go. Oh, God. All right. You got a lightning, a couple lightning round games for me.
I got a lightning round for you here. This comes from Flint Weber on Twitter, at Flint Weber. Watch as the silent scientist Gordon Freeman teams up with anybody from the Save the World single-player Fortnite game as they journey to do one thing they want, a finished game.
Oh, no, okay.
So, the through line here is that Gordon Ramsay and Fortnite save the world. Not Gordon Ramsay. What's the name? Gordon Freeman.
No, now it's Gordon Ramsay. Gordon Ramsay, that's totally in, that's that's on brand, dude, because they're adding fucking, they're adding everybody right now, because I know they added Ryu and Chun-Li from the Street Fighter games, and then they also added Ripley from the Alien movies.
They also Master Chief and Kratos in Fortnite. Basically what this is...
Master Chief is fucking... What the fuck?
Master
really?
Chief is in Fortnite, dog. Yeah.
What? God, Fortnite is fucking huge. Okay, so with
key through line here is that the main characters from the single player Fortnite and Gordon Freeman both have been damned because they're never getting an actual full game. Rip to both of them.
Well, here's hoping with Half-Life Alyx doing so well, maybe we get another Half-Life game.
Uh-huh. What if Fortnite said, check this out. We've got a special going on right now. We, Fortnite, will give you Half-Life 3 within the Fortnite engine.
Ugh. Ugh. Ugh.
I don't have a bit here. I'm just looking at the stark reality of a possible thing, right? Like, how long is it until... I mean, Fortnite did the big Travis Scott thing. How long is it until Fortnite says,
well,
single-player challenge
so
maps?
Fucking, and no, then you know what's so wild, though?
And then they announce Gordon Freeman, and then you have a single-player adventure in Half-Life. Or
see,
of Half-Life,
you know, you're
Fortnite.
Not far off, though, because, like, I feel... games have been doing that more lately. Like, there was that whole thing of, I haven't fully experienced it, so I don't know what the scope of it was, though, but Alan Wake is my favorite game, and Remedy and 505 are, like, my favorite, it's my favorite developer. They did a thing in Control, like, in their last DLC that I guess features Alan Wake.
Yeah,
so
it's the
I'm
Alan Wake DLC.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if you're not far off on, like, people starting, like, big games being used to platform as teasers for upcoming games. Oh. So it'll be like, you know, your thing of, like, of Morgan Freeman will be like, yeah, there's this whole, we replaced Tilted Towers. I don't even know if that fucking exists anymore. We replaced Tilted Towers with a Black Mesa facility, and it's going to have its own little thing in there of, like, you can find, like, little audio files in the middle of matches or something like that.
Yeah,
and
I mean, Fortnite did something like that for Star Wars already, so, like, how long is it before other video games say we're going
really?
To use Fortnite as our promo? Yeah. Oh, you didn't hear? How's it going?
No.
Welcome to Spiritual Successor, sometimes a horrible news podcast from ye old times. So you know how in the newest Star Wars movie there was just that line about this, the guy was like, somehow the Emperor Palpatine came back to life. And a lot of us were like, what? Wow, they really just one-lined that one, huh? Well, they didn't. Here's the catch. In order to understand the real lore of how and when Emperor Palpatine came back to life, you have to find the audio logs in Fortnite. This isn't a bit.
Whoa. Oh,
and
God.
We're never going to think of anything funnier than that, Blake. That's the worst part, is that it's the funniest thing imaginable. Like, they put Star Wars canon in Fortnite.
That's so fucking wild, because that truly gives me a sense of, like, scope of how big Fortnite really truly is.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, you always hear about, like, Fortnite's huge, but the fact that Fortnite fucking teamed up with Star Wars as like a property that is very famously frugal with sharing it with other things. It's very like kept close to the chest, either by Lucasfilm or, you know, EA or fucking Disney. The fact that they fucking teamed up and were like, yeah, this is canonic to this multi-billion-dollar movie. Like, what? Fucking...
Yeah. Fortnite is impressively large. And I know that, like, a lot of, like, gamers TM, like, will be like, oh, Fortnite. Like, there needs to be, like, a level of, like, acceptance and... Well, astonishment, fucking, you know, I guess, about, like, how massive it is. And so, like... Monster Hunter recently did... Well, not even recently anymore, but they did a crossover event with, like, The Witcher, right? You could load in as Geralt Rivia. You did a little fun voice-acted single-player experience, and you got to fight a cool lich thing. The lich plant? The mean tree. And so how long is it until Fortnite 1 does a crossover event with another video game, right? Like, there will come a point when a video game says, we're building hype for our game, and so we'd like to do a Fortnite crossover. When is that, and what IP will it be? Will it be a single-player Gordon Freeman experience? Probably not, but we know that we... Let me use the Suck Force really quick.
Channel that shit.
We know that at some point, Halo will need to do damage control on their IP and build hype for their next experience before it comes out.
Oh, you mean on Halo Infinite?
Halo, here's Suck Force. Here it comes inbound. There will be a Fortnite Halo event wherein the new Halo video game guns will be first accessible in Fortnite. So people will get to feel what those guns will feel like in Halo.
How about this? I'll do you one better. Cortana is a findable thing in the universe, or in the map of Fortnite. And if you're master... No. Like, let's be realistic. They're not going to do guns. They're going to do...
Look, imagine like a gun like the Needler, right? When we all felt the Needler for the first time, it was like a new and like astonishing experience. I'm saying that
overrated.
Fortnite, whatever the next Needler is, whatever the next gun that is unique to the Halo game is, they will put
AJ,
it in Fortnite first
AJ.
So people can feel that gun.
No. No, AJ, this is what they're going to do, because they're not going to build new assets for that. You know what they're going to do? They're going to make, if you're Master Chief, you can fucking dual-wield Fortnite guns, dude. You could dual-wield pickaxes, because that, like, here's the thing. Everybody talks about how great the Needler was. I'm like, okay, it's fun, but you know what was more powerful? Dual-wielding double SMGs. We have not been able to do that since Halo 2, AJ, and you know how much that upsets me as a person.
That's not true. You can do it in Halo 3. What are you talking about?
What? No, I don't think you can dual-wield SMGs. I remember that being like, I remember being so fucking livid about that. I don't think you were able to dual wield as SMGs at the same time. You were able to dual wield, just not two SMGs at the same time.
Oh, did it have to be a separate gun? Like an
SMG, it had to be like a separate,
and then the spiker?
Yeah, and then a needler or whatever. Yeah, okay. I don't think you could dual wield double SMGs like you could in Halo 2. And I remember being so fucking frustrated about that as a person. But regardless, okay, so let's go back to the original submission of... So it's Gordon Freeman and... I wonder if they would.
Oh, yeah,
do
I totally
thing
forgot
where...
that there was a part of the submission about the single player Fortnite thing. No, that's wicked dead. Like, I can't even crack jokes about it. I wish it wasn't. The single player Fortnite ruled. A little tower defense game where you got to build a fort with and defend it with your friends. Hell yeah, that owned bones. I played that game for like 2 weeks, and then they dropped the Battle Royale thing, and I thought, I'm not going to touch that. Little did I know what beast that was going to become.
Well, you know, honestly, and going back to a point you were making of, like, how a lot of people like to shit on Fortnite, dude, it's big for a reason. The gameplay loop is fun, you know? It just so happens to be super popular, and everybody's like, oh, it's so popular, so it has to be bad. Like, another good one is, like, Call of Duty. Yes, I think the stories in Call of Duty can be problematic and bad, whatever, but, like, gameplay loop, it's fun. Like, doing multiplayer with other people, I mean, the community is fucking toxic, don't get me wrong, but, like, I think those games are big for a reason. You know, people like playing them. It's like, it's the same reason people play FIFA every year. You know, is there a lot going on in FIFA? No, but
it's just
fun.
Boop, 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 boop. Games are fun.
Yeah, games are fun, man. Who gives a shit if they're fucking famous? Not famous. Who gives a shit if the game is big like Fortnite? Like, if it's fun and it brings you joy, have fun. Have fun. It's like all those people shitting on, like, Minecraft Let's Players. Like, oh, all you play is Minecraft. Like, yeah, so what? They fucking are having a good time. Why you gotta shit on their good time? Little known fact, I think gamer culture's kind of shitty and really bad about telling other people. Yeah, like fucking like people talking like, hey, this game that not many people like brings me a lot of joy and it makes me feel happy. Like that, like fucking good for you, dude. Like be happy. Like why we gotta be shitting on people for being happy about games that they like? I don't know.
There's an interesting discussion. How's it going? Welcome to Spiritual Successor, sometimes a recommendation podcast. There's this incredible thing from Waypoint Radio that they just did where Austin Walker, Gita Jackson and a third person, I don't remember the name, they talk about gamer culture and they talk about like the relation between like being somebody that plays games and wanting to identify as a gamer in a really interesting way, because like there's an interesting dichotomy in how like people who don't play games look at the word gamer and like the culture of video gamers, and then the way that people that do play video games and engage with game culture look at gamers and game culture, and it's an interesting little difference, and I definitely recommend people go check out Waypoint Radio.
Okay. All right. I think that's great. I think we also need to close out the episode. We need to pick
a choose a video game that should not be made. Now, so, like, what was our game last week? It was High Seas, which I believe was
a rhythm game.
A rhythm game about not getting legal rights so that people would DMCA themselves.
I think we gotta pick something that isn't a rhythm game.
Do we want to do something that's a little bit for us because I really like beats per minute, or do we do something a little bit for the brand and do that toxic gardening game?
Well, I think we should do the gardening game primarily for two reasons. One, it's unlike, I think it's unlike something we've made. I feel like we've made Rhythm Fighters before, and I want to make our next game kind of different. Two, we did just do a rhythm game last week.
Hey, Blake, is there a common theme of us creating video games that are built to trap people?
Yeah, like that's I feel like when I look at Spiritual Successor, I look at it as like, hey, I want to make games that all of them trap have people. Elements of like things that we fucking hate in real life, like microtransactions, things that trap you in weird payment loops, or games that are about like that are commentary on toxic bullshit culture. Toxic gamer culture. So I feel like that's been a common theme through a lot of our games. I feel like very rarely are our games like actually good.
So Gamer Gardens is the thing that we're looking at now.
Yeah, Gamer Gardens.
Is there
Gardens.
Any way we could spice that up a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Toxic. I mean, you could also just call it Toxic Garden. Like toxic gamer garden.
What was the name of the garden that you called? The omelet garden?
The Alnwick, yes.
That's not a very buzzing word, is it?
All right, AJ, this is what we call this game. It's called Ninja Garden.
Ninja Garden? No, is that just a play because it sounds like Ninja Gaiden? Or did you just want to put the word ninja in there?
No, because ninja, the toxic fucking gamer dude. Ninja.
Oh, the gamer boy.
Oh, man, you missed it. I thought that was a joke right up your alley, man.
I deleted
you and I
him
shit
from
on that
my
ass.
Brain, dude.
He's a shitty person.
I go out of my way to not talk about that.
Okay, how about this? The neighbor that we have is ninja. That's the neighbor. That's the neighbor that comes up and fucking mansplains to you how you're doing gardening wrong. What was that other shitty thing that he says? It's like, you need to be mad when you lose. And like, whatever that fucking toxic masculinity bullshit thing you said.
Real gamers get mad when they lose video games.
Yeah. Like, what a fucking douchebag.
What an absolute dweeb. Oh, wait, I got it. You know how they just released that video game that was called like a Triangle Project or whatever for the Switch?
Yeah,
because it's still in development. We'll just call it Mean Garden Project.
Mean Garden Project. Mean Garden.
And honestly, Blake, I'm taking this bit and I'm putting it in my pocket. We might use this again in the future. Mean Garden Project this week. Next week, who knows?
Well, here's the thing. Once these games come out, it's not like we put patches out for them, dude. It's not like we're fixing these games.
This is just a working title. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to change one day.
Okay, okay. So Mean Garden?
Maybe.
Mean Garden is actually pretty fun.
In a week and a half when our audience gives us a better name for it because they're better at this than we are, I'll go back and rename this episode to the good name.
Okay, so Mean Garden Pirate. I think just call it Mean Garden, bro.
It needs to have project in it so that people know that it's in work, in development, and it's still a working title.
All right, Mean Garden Project.
Okay. Like how Octopath Traveler at one time was just called like Octopath Project or Traveler Project or something wild like
that.
Man,
they really changed the name after that, huh?
You need to work with something.
Okay. All right, Mean Garden Project. I don't think we're going to use boss fight this week because I just don't know what the boss fight would be.
I got no idea either.
Yeah. All righty. Hey, let's go to patch notes.
Let's go to patch notes. How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to Patch Notes, my favorite time of the podcast, because it's the one time I heard your ping. I heard your Discord ping that time, or your Facebook Messenger ping.
Really? I didn't get any notifications on that one.
Oh, was that?
I have not heard
you know
anything.
What? That was on me because I have I forgot that I'm on my cell phone headphones, and so my cell phone made a noise.
Have the Discord notifications I've been hearing coming from you?
No, that would be weird because I didn't hear any tings for my Discord when you were at the top of the show.
Where the fuck are those coming from? Okay,
anyway,
whatever. All right,
this is my favorite part of the show because it's the one time of the show I get to make a request that I want to actually happen. And what I demand from the audience today is to show our podcast to someone else. I'm sick of working for this brand. I'm sick of putting this team on my back, and I'm sick of sending out emails to every email chain I can to request people to listen to my podcast. And so I would like you, our lovely little audience, to do that work for me, please. Please?
I love that. I love that you put a little gremlin voice on this, like a little, just like, it's me, I'm a goblin. I'm a goblin.
It's me,
I'm
the
asking
podcast
you to
goblin. Please show my podcast to everybody.
And if you're feeling extra nice, oh, I should put on a goblin voice too.
And if you're feeling extra nice, if you could leave a review or a rating on iTunes, it helps us grow. I demand it.
Are we just putting in demands now? We do. We just
you know
go this
what?
Whole.
I think that
we
doing a self plug is way easier when you put a goblin voice on.
Yeah, because it feels a little less like, oh man, I don't. Leave
it
a review
might
if
just
you
be
want.
That
you
part
know,
of me that like is super uncertain about myself and like hates that I have to like ask people to go check out my stuff. But on our YouTube channel, we got a Let's Play going on for Dead Rising.
We're
you
a couple
can go
of
check
dads.
That out. It's 2 hours long. That voice hurts. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening to our podcast. Our intro and outro music is Cheap Shot by Anna Monoguchi, an excellent song from an excellent band for an excellent game. I've been your host, AJ Hart.
And I have been your other host, Blake Rea.
And I have been your other host, Blake Rea.
Man, goblin I'm clipping. Man, right? Goblin voice clips my mic.
That's not helpful for me. I'm going to hate that later.
All right, everybody.
This has been Spiritual Successor, and these are cool games
that should not be made.